Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Congratulations on getting through 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Sean Levine is off today. Rob Brinton producing this thing. A couple of NFL news and notes to pass along before we get to the hits. Number one, Carlos Hyde has signed with the Seattle Seahawks. So Carlos Hyde still getting NFL league money. He has signed to play with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson in Seattle. And Joe Flacco signed today with the New York Jets. I just got a quick question. We don't got to spend too much time on it. Can you imagine watching the film on Joe Flacco and coming to any other conclusion than he's washed? Like, I watched him play last year. That's not a player I'd want on my team. Now, maybe he's got some kind of expertise and knowledge that he can pass down to your young quarterbacks. Well, hire him to be a coach, because I'm not putting Joe Flacco in any situation he could play for my football team. I think he's absolutely terrible. And the fact that Joe Flacco signed a contract before Cam Newton is incredible to me. And incredible is not in a good way. But yes, Joe Flacco, he is in the league. He is signed with the New York Jets. Carlos Hyde, he is still in the league as well. He plays for the Seattle Seahawks. So if you want to surprise your friends with your NFL knowledge, I have just given you all the tools to do so. Rob, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, my man.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
Earlier today, in a Zoom call with the media, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid spoke. He was asked about his thoughts about the potential change to the NFL onside kick rule.
I don't know if it's going to pass or not. I know the special teams coaches aren't real big on that. It takes away, obviously, one of the elements of theirs. And then it's also the kickoff, which has been under scrutiny here, and kickoff returns. So, to keep the integrity of the game, you like that part of it. On the other hand, if it does pass and we've got a guy that can do fourth and 15s. I mean, he would give us an opportunity to be able to do that. So I've got kind of mixed thoughts on it. I would probably stick, being an old guy, I'd probably stick with the integrity of the game as it sits right now, but I can also see where the other part could be exciting.
If this rule were to get passed, do you believe the rule change to the onside kick is gimmicky?
I think it's a little bit gimmicky, but I don't think that that's a negative thing. I mean, at one point, the shot clock was gimmicky. At one point, people looked at basketball and said, wait, we're trying to speed the game up by putting a limit on how long your possession could be? That's not how we play basketball. It ended up being the right deal. At some point, the three-point line was considered to be gimmicky. Someone drew a line on the court and said, hey, if you take a shot from behind this line, it's worth more points than if you take a shot in front of it. I'm sure it was viewed as gimmicky. It worked. I'm sure at some point people, when they saw the yellow line on the television, looked at it as being gimmicky and unnecessary. It's perfect. So I don't necessarily think that gimmicky has to be a negative. Man, I'm always going to be in favor of trying to improve the game and make it a more exciting and entertaining product. And onside kicks are not entertaining. They don't get recovered. It's a 4% chance now of you recovering an onside kick. 4 with the new rule changes. Why do they even have it if you can't ever return it? You got to hit the ball just right, just perfect in order for you to do so. The new rules at least give you a chance. teams last year on 3rd and 15 or 4th and 15 converted on 15% of them. So it's difficult enough that it's not going to be a gimme, but it also, there's a chance that your team does it. And you don't want to see in a situation where the Chiefs are down 3, Mahomes is coming out there with a chance to give Kansas City a chance to keep possession and maybe go down and score a touchdown. Absolutely. So gimmicky just a little bit, but this is a necessary fix, in my opinion, to the NFL.
Two.
ESPN gambling experts are talking about the Chiefs over under.
This win total at Caesars Sportsbook, 12. It's a big number. And if you think that number, let's put it in perspective. They are just the fifth team since 2000 to have a preseason win total of at least 12. Only the 2017 Patriots went over their number. Preston, Chiefs are great, but that's a big number. Your thoughts?
You're right. It's too big. I would go under here at 12. There's a lot of 11 and a halves in the market, and there's a big difference, in my opinion, between the 12 and the 11 and a half. It's hard to win 13 regular season games, and that's the only proposition.
Yeah, I would go under if I had to.
If you're bullish on the Chiefs in any regard, Super Bowl odds, conference odds, win total over, props over, you got to understand something. The bookmakers smell you coming. This is the defending Super Bowl champions. They've got the most exciting quarterback in the game. They know the public wants to bet the overs here. So I think that's all baked into these lines. I'm going to go the other way on most. I'm going under on the win total too.
If the number is 12, do you understand why people would bet the under on the Chiefs?
Yeah, but if the number was at 12, I simply would just stay away because I think that's what the floor is for the Kansas City Chiefs. I look at this team, I look at their schedule, I look at their dominance in the division. I just don't see a scenario in which they win less than 12 games unless they have significant injuries. I'm not saying it's impossible, but look at this roster. Look at the talent. Look at the age of the teams. Look at the addition they just made with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'd be stunned if this team won 10 games this year. I look at it as a disappointing regular season. Now, 10 is a really good regular season if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Man, we're talking one seed or two seed if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. We ain't talking about being the 3 or the 4 seed. So I'd be disappointed if that was the case. So I do understand why people would maybe see that number, and typically you want to stay away from it, or typically the smart money would be on the under. I just look at this roster, and again, I look at the schedule. 12 to me is the floor of what this team's going to be. If you look at the Chiefs and you follow the NFL, they're a 12 or 13 win football team. I wouldn't take the under, and if the number was right at 12, I simply would stay away as opposed to taking the under.
Three.
The Pittsburgh Steelers announced they're only going to sell about 50% of their single game tickets for the upcoming season. We've talked a lot on this show about what the plan will be for fans back in the stands in fall. With the Steelers' proposal, do you think this will be the system that NFL teams and college teams use to promote social distancing and to limit fans inside the stadium?
Absolutely. Now, I do think it's going to be a team-by-team type deal. I don't know if the NFL is going to put those mandates, but I think you are crazy if you think that they're going to allow 75 to 80,000 people to be at a Chiefs home game this year. Maybe we'll get to 50. Who knows how the next 5-6 months of America is going to look like and the world is going to look like. But to me, you're crazy if you think we're going to be at full capacity. I just don't see what that's based in. So I'm looking at certain situations around the country. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're only going to sell 50% of their normal single game ticket allotment. You look at what's happening at Ohio State, one of the bigger stadiums in the country, not just NFL or college, one of the bigger stadiums in the country. They're only going to have a max capacity of around 25 to 30,000. I really do think that's going to be the play moving forward. Now, I'm not going to pretend to know what it's going to be, and I don't want to just throw numbers out there and then get people thinking. I don't think everyone's going to be able to go to the game, and there has to be a system in place where if you've been a long-time season ticket holder and you want the option to go when you feel comfortable enough to go, they should allow you to go if there's going to be some fans that are going to be allowed to the games. But I do think at some point here in the next 2 months, we are going to have conversations about schedule limitations or stadium limitations, So we'll see what happens. But I do think that that is going to be the case. I do not think that these stadiums, kind of like restaurants, are not going to be able to operate at max capacity. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll do Ask Us Anything. So if you got a question, go ahead and text it in. Text line 69306. Earlier today, we had on John Heyman. He is one of the more knowledgeable MLB reporters to tell us everything we needed to know about baseball's plan of starting its regular season.
I'm there. Good to be with you.
Let's just start with this. What did you make of the proposal sent back to the Major League Baseball owners from the players yesterday?
Well, the players are concerned with the routine, the preparation, recovery. They don't want to take a chance on more injuries. Obviously, the virus is the biggest issue, but they also don't want to add to regular old baseball injuries. So they're working together. It seems like both sides are on the same page. They want a few injuries. They want to avoid the virus if possible. And it seems like they're working together, and that is going to be something they're going to be able to get done.
As someone who's been tracking this, what would you say is the bigger priority right now for either side? Is it the health of the players and keeping them as safe as possible, or trying to recover as much financially as either side can?
Well, the health of the players supersedes everything. They have to have the health of the players. That is the most important thing. That's the thing they're tackling first, and they're going to do their best with it. Is it going to be no risk? No, I don't think that anyone will say that, but they're trying to limit the risk as much as possible. But I think they're generally on the same page, and I think MLB's understanding of some of the player concerns about the no showering and no hydrotherapy and no indoor batting cages and some of the other things that baseball players are used to doing, and they're going to work with them and try to figure that part of it out, and I think they will. The big issue will be the financial situation.
I want to get to that momentarily, but I want to kind of talk more about baseball's plan before we dive deep into the money, because that's kind of the biggest fight that I think both sides are having right now. Why do you think that Major League Baseball isn't pushing for a centralized location? When you look at the NBA, they haven't talked about putting teams in home arenas. It's been solely around either going to Vegas or going to Orlando. Why do you think that's not the plan for Major League Baseball, whether it's in Florida or Arizona?
Yeah, to do doing baseball and have all 30 teams, you'd have to be in, if you're going to do it centralized, it's going to have to be in a spot with many stadiums. In basketball, if they're going to go straight to the playoffs, they're going to eliminate several teams, and you're going to be able to play games stacked up, and perhaps you'll have a spot where you have two or three gyms to play the games in, but that several baseball fields that are major league caliber, shall we say. There aren't that many places like that. The only real one is Phoenix, where it would be where half the spring training sites are. There are several issues with Phoenix. One is it's West Coast, so that would make TV a little bit more difficult. That's not insurmountable. The others are that it's very hot in Phoenix in the summer, which is why they have a dome. You know, I don't know if you've been to Phoenix in the summer, but wow. I mean, it's already over 100 degrees there several days. So 110 is not out of the norm. So that makes Phoenix difficult. But you need to have the fields, and I think that's the question in Phoenix. And, you know, I think some people thought it might be safer, but others weren't so sure. It certainly would cut down on the travel, but I think they're going to work it out where everybody's got their own team bus, everybody's got their own team plane, and they're not going through airports. I'm old enough to remember when I could see NBA teams in airports occasionally, but we don't see that anymore. They go straight to it, and it's not really going to the airport.
Right now we're talking to John Heyman, one of the leading Major League Baseball reporters, about baseball trying to resume and start its regular season. How confident, how optimistic are you that a deal is going to be resolved here in the next 10 days? Because listening to other reports, this is something that probably needs to be done by June 1st if they want to hit that expected timetable. How optimistic are you that this is going to be the case?
Yeah, June 1st would be nice, but I don't think it has to be June 1st. I think they'd like to get going on spring training, certainly by June 15th. I think that really would give them probably the June 10th. I might be a little uncomfortable making arrangements in spring training sites, but I think a lot of the teams are going to play in their regular home park, as it turns out. So maybe they're not going to need the usual lead time for spring accommodations. They will need some time to get this negotiation done, because right now both sides seem fairly entrenched. I do think they both understand they're going to need a compromise, that the players aren't going to get prorated over 82 games, and that MLB, I'll be shocked if they get the revenue sharing with a 50-50 split. I mean, I'm not personally opposed to revenue sharing. It just doesn't seem like there's time to figure that out. It doesn't seem like the players are going to exactly trust the numbers. And so I think they're going to figure something out, some kind of compromise in there. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, has been there 25 years. We've not had any work stoppages since 1995. So he's got a pretty good record. It's a relatively new regime in the players union. They're right now not off to a great start. This regime was brought in because some people felt that the players union didn't get their best bargain in the last negotiating session. I'm not sure if that's true, but the owners certainly have made a lot of money in the last two, 3 years. And so they're kind of got a fighting spirit with the players union, but both sides are really going to have to sit down and work this out, because that would just be a black eye on baseball if they didn't work it out over economics.
No, you're right when it comes to economics. I'm curious your thoughts on Blake Snell's comments, and how prevalent do you think that belief is amongst the players? Because just reading guys like Bryce Harper and reading Trevor Bauer, it seems like more players sided with Blake Snell than I think the public identifies with.
Yeah, I mean, the public's not going to like those kind of comments, and he said it rather inartfully. I knew what he was trying to say. I mean, the players are the ones taking the risk. That's what you say. And then really just it probably isn't a good idea to talk about the money, because your average person doesn't relate to players making the kind of money that they do make. But for whatever reason, they seem to sympathize with the owners, who are by and large billionaires. But, you know, they see them as entrepreneurs, people who took chances to make money, and they admire that more. So it's an uphill battle on the PR war for the players, and they'd probably be better off having someone who's a little more – I don't want to rip the Blake Snell. I think he's a nice fellow, but somebody who really understands all the issues and understands public relations, because that really wasn't the right way to say it.
Last question here, John, and I really appreciate your time. I think the big question that all of us are trying to answer, and if your answer is I don't know, I would certainly understand, what happens once players start to test positive? Because there's no way, in my opinion, you're doing all of this work for one situation like what happened in the NBA with Rudy Gobert to then shut down the entire thing. If you're going to do all of this and have players traveling to try to have baseball, you are willing to assume that some players are going to test positive. What do you think the plan is going to be? What are you hearing for when there are positive tests within Major League Baseball?
Well, they've laid that out. No, they're not going to shut down. They're going to quarantine the player or a couple players, or hopefully it's not more than a couple players who test positive. And I think the hope and belief is that most of the players are, almost all the players, are between 21 and 39. There might be a couple exceptions. And, you know, generally the statistics have favored people under 45. We don't have any players over 45 on any rosters anymore. And, you know, the belief is that while players can get an infection just like anybody else, that they'd have a, you know, they would be able to overcome it no matter what strain or whatever. You never know. I mean, there is a risk involved, and the players are taking it. That's fair to say. And I do agree with you that there's likely to be some infections. But they will quarantine. They will not shut down. And the belief is that they have an excellent chance at recovery. I mean, more than excellent, very, very high chance of recovery if they are infected.
That is John Heyman, one of the top Major League Baseball reporters on baseball's plan of starting their regular season. John, I always have a lot of great respect for your reporting. Really appreciate you coming on today. Thanks a lot.
All right. Great talking to you. See you later.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we will do Ask Us Anything. If you got a question, go ahead and text it in. Text line 69306. We'll get to as many questions as we can coming up in 20 minutes. Rob, I'm curious your thoughts on this. We've now had on four, maybe five different baseball experts over the last 2 to 3 weeks. All of them say the exact same about what happens if a player tests positive. That maybe Major League Baseball has not announced what's going to happen, but if you're willing to take on what Major League Baseball is trying to do and have players not be quarantined in the same sense that the NBA is. So the NBA's plan is very different than what Major League Baseball is trying to do. The NBA is trying to find one centralized location, keep everybody there, and basically host big AAU tournaments. That's what they're trying to do. That's not what baseball is trying to do. Baseball is trying to have games played at Kauffman Stadium and at Yankee Stadium and in Busch Stadium. That's their plan, a very different plan. And if that's going to be what you've decided to do, which it sounds like that's what Major League Baseball is going to do, you got to assume that at some point with all of those people, somebody is testing positive. And they have come to the conclusion that that's a risk everybody's willing to take. The player's got to be willing to take that. The owner's got to be willing to take that. The team's got to be willing to take that. And there are rules going to be in place where if Whit Merrifield tests positive, he is just simply away from the team for 2 weeks or 17 days or however long until he tests negative. They will then test the other players. They will remove the infected player in this sense. I know that sounds bad, but that's what he is. They remove him from the group, and they will keep things going. Now, I know that sounds really callous, but if we're going to be fair and honest here, that's what's happening at a lot of people's jobs. If I got the coronavirus and I couldn't be here, believe me, they ain't canceling the show. They will find someone else to do the show. Now, I'm not calling myself a Major League Baseball player, nor saying my job is as important as them. But a lot of you guys' job is put in the exact same place that my job is put into. And now their job is put into. So you're not doing all this to just simply stop. We talked to too many people now. I don't know how you can have that opinion at this point. We could disagree on if they should stop, but there is no disagreeing to me on if they are going to stop. They're not doing what the Korean Baseball League is doing, where if one player tests positive, that's the end of the league. That's not what Major League Baseball sounds like they're going to do. We've had John Heyman on the show. We've had Vern on the show. We've had Bob Nightingale on the show. We've had Richard Justice on the show. We have had enough people that are in the know in Major League Baseball to say it is going to simply be next man up.
Yeah, it appears to be their plan. And at this point, I think the train has already left the station. They're going to treat it this way. If Whit Merrifield gets it, it's the same as if Whit Merrifield tears up an ankle. He's going to be out 2 weeks. They're going to test him. Once he's healthy, he can return to the field. He can begin working out and return to the field. And I agree, it sounds callous, but that appears to be baseball's plan. Here's where I think baseball plan is flawed. The travel, because we know that the virus, you could have it and be asymptomatic. If that person is on an airplane with the rest of the team, that is big problems. The difference in the NBA is if someone's asymptomatic and has it, you can keep him in his room on the floor in Orlando or Vegas and then test the next day and be like, oh man, Kyle Kuzma has it. Kyle Kuzma goes back to his room. You test everyone else. No one else was with him other than the game yesterday. You're fine. You test Whit Merrifield and he was on the plane with 24 other athletes. That's a big problem.
No, you're right. That is a big problem. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll do Ask Us Anything. So you and I were having this conversation earlier and we got a little bit sidetracked because I went on my Chipotle rant and I'm wrong for that. So the text line was telling us how much they enjoy cold food. Now, I'm not talking cold food like ice cream. I'm talking cold food like it was once hot. It is now lost the heat. They're not going to put it in the refrigerator, in the microwave to reheat it and just simply eating the food. So we had people telling us that they enjoy cold pizza more than hot pizza, which makes absolutely no sense to me. I understand we all got different tastes. I understand we are all very different people. But if you were telling me that when the pizza, is hot, you guys know what I'm talking about. You got to do the little inward blow. Where when you take a bite out of that cheese, the cheese is dripping. You guys know what I'm talking about. If you're telling me you rather have the cold, lost its color, rock hard crust, where the pepperoni just flakes off of it and the sausage just rolls off of it. If you rather have that pizza over the hot pizza, you're a weirdo. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know the PC way of saying it, but you're a weirdo if that's what you like over the hot pizza. We had people telling us that they enjoy cold Chinese food. What? You guys can't be serious. Text line 69306. You guys like cold Chinese food? You're telling me where the rice is all hard and clumped together? You guys like it? I don't even really like to reheat Chinese food. If I can't eat it all in one setting, that's not a food that really reheats well. But I would, cold Chinese food? Disgusting. Some of you guys were saying you like cold wings. What? You're telling me. Because if you're a man, you've definitely done this before. You don't feel like it. You don't think that anything's going to happen to the food, so you don't put it in the refrigerator. You leave it out all night. And then you wake up the next day and you say, oh, man, I still got pizza left. I still got wings left. I still got breadsticks left. Believe me, we've all been in this situation. You don't go grab a plate and then put it in the microwave and then eat it. You just make a plate and then just eat that food cold? Disgusting. I can't put it any other way. That's disgusting and you're a weirdo. But Rob, you were going through the text line. This is a real thing. People like this.
Yeah, I have the list of things. We got cold buffalo wings, cold Chipotle. What? Cold Chipotle is weird. Cold pizza, Chinese food. The weirdest one I thought was cold spaghetti. Who would want spaghetti cold?
Now, I'm not going to lie to you here. When I was a kid, cold spaghetti wasn't that bad. Now, it's
wasn't
not
that
better.
Bad. It's not good.
Better than hot spaghetti. But cold, of all of these foods that have been thrown out there, cold spaghetti's the best. Out of cold spaghetti, cold pizza, cold buffalo wings, that's the best one, is cold spaghetti. I don't know why, but cold spaghetti's the best out of those. But as an adult, I would still go heat the food up. I don't get it. Like, they invented the microwave for a reason. What do you think they invented the microwave for? Somebody spent a lot of time to invent the microwave. I don't know who it was. I wish I could thank them because that person doesn't get nearly enough credit. We know who invented the light bulb. We know who invented the telephone. No clue who invented the microwave. And I use that more than I use the telephone. We're talking the traditional phone that Alexander Graham Bell created for us. But come on now. You can't tell me as a fully grown adult, you leave the pizza out overnight. You then just pick the pizza up directly out of the box and then go to town. I refuse to believe those of you are doing it. That's a level of savagery that I don't have.
Text line's adding more cold food. Cold KFC mashed potatoes.
What?
What? Cold turkey sandwich. Throw some ketchup on there. Huh? Cold meatloaf is flame. Okay. All right. Text line, you're just messing with us now. There's no way. Cold meatloaf. Come on now.
Honest question. And we can even take phone calls on this. 913-576-7610. Why did you not heat the food up? That's what I want to get. Help me understand. Can you help me understand? Because that's what I don't get. Can you help me understand why there's a microwave available, you know the purpose of the microwave, and you simply opt out of it? I don't get that. I don't get it. I want to understand. 913-576-7610, text line 69306. Help me understand why you are anti-microwave. We'll get to the bottom of this coming up, Mr. Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive. Coming up in about 10 minutes, I'll answer your questions during Ask Us Anything. Yo, the text line is trolling us. We'll go to the phone lines here momentarily. 913-576-7610. Pat, hold on. I promise you we'll get to you. You have my word. So we're talking about cold foods. And I don't mean cold foods as in ice cream. I mean foods that are traditionally served hot now have turned cold and people not wanting to heat them up. Text line 69306, cold meatloaf sandwich with mayos and pickles because the mayo turns to oil on hot meatloaf. First off, meatloaf is nasty. That's off the top. That's off the top. I don't want meatloaf hot or cold, but I sure as hell don't want cold meatloaf. And you put mayo and pickles on it? Somebody said cold goat tenders. All right, now, okay. I thought we could have a well-reasoned conversation on this. A well-reasoned conversation. Text line 69306. Cold food has more flavor. The microwave is horrible. to what it does to food. That's why the air fryer is great. I threw away my microwave. Now, I didn't throw away my microwave, and I do like the air fryer more. But I've never believed that the pizza, when it's cold, has more flavor than when the pizza's hot. I don't feel that way. You guys feel this way? Something wrong with y'all taste buds. That's what it is. Something's wrong here. Like, I am the one that gets criticized all the time for my food takes. So yesterday, to share a very painful story with you guys, there was a tweet that was circulating about Chex Mix and what's the worst piece in the bag. So I tweeted it and says, we might disagree on what the best piece is, but we all know what the worst piece is, those little ride chips. I saw a fury of mentions and negative energy and vitriol like I haven't seen in quite some. The last time it was that bad was after the AFC Championship game, where I said I didn't feel bad for the Chiefs because they couldn't get a stop in overtime. And I don't feel bad for the Chiefs. They should have got a stop. They deserve to lose. That was the last time the text line or Twitter was this mad at me. But I'm starting to realize that there's nothing wrong with my taste buds. There's something wrong with you guys' taste buds. I made correctly. You guys are not made correctly. Cold meatloaf sandwiches, bro. Meatloaf sandwiches. Rob, disgusting.
You're Pat, right. You're on the drive.
Go ahead, man. Pat, you there?
Yeah. You got to go with cold Chipotle. Cold Chipotle is amazing.
Okay. I don't know why it's wanted to take calls, because I don't even understand them. Like, I understood what he was saying. And I heard what he was saying. And Pat, I do appreciate the call. Cold Chipotle is a... Now, cold Chipotle is better than other cold foods. And have I ever just taken a bite of the cold Chipotle before? Yes, I have done so. But I almost always go heat it up right after I take that one bite. Always go heat it up after that. I can't believe how many people are on this cold food wave. I legitimately had no clue. People are talking the praises of the ride chips. Those are disgusting to me. Absolutely disgusting.
Text line, I thought I lost you earlier with the cold meatloaf, but you're back. You're back in my good graces with your ride chip love.
No, just disgusting.
Me and you have embraced again.
Disgusting. Those are by far the worst part of the bag to me. Anytime I get Gardetto's or Chex Mix, I always try to eat those last, and I eat around them. Disgusting. Terrible. Cold meatloaf kind of has me shook. I'm not going to lie. I don't even know how to progress as a show, as a team here. I don't know how to progress with me and you as a team with that information. I was listening to Therese's podcast on Yahoo Sports. It's a great podcast. Therese says that everybody has bad food takes. Here's one of his.
I love peanut butter. I hate nuts. Don't like it. I know what makes no sense. Walnuts, peanuts, you know, Cracker Jacks. If it's got nuts on it, I'm not eating it. Wow. Cake, anything with nuts, like cookies with nuts in it, I don't eat it. And I'm venturing into Charles Frazing territory, but I hate nuts. I don't do it. But you know what? The honey creamy peanut butter that you can get at certain stores.
Yeah.
I'm all the way in. Yeah. I eat it plain right out of the, I love it. So goofy, but that's one thing that's weird.
I'll eat some Nutter Butters. Those are great, right. But I hate nuts. Right.
And I feel so like left out, like at ball games.
I think everybody has one of these weird food quirks. So mine is, I don't like tomatoes. I don't like ketchup. I love tomato soup. I don't know why I love tomato soup so much. I don't even love grilled cheese sandwiches the way everyone else does. But if I have a choice between chicken noodle soup and tomato soup, I'm taking that tomato soup every single time. That's one of my favorite things about when it gets cold, is I can enjoy tomato soup. But I hate ketchup and hate tomatoes. I didn't really start liking onions and peppers till a few years ago. I think I tried them as a kid, didn't like them, and then I always stayed away from them. And then Chipotle, I was like, you know what? Let me try it. Man, that pepper on those onions. I was like, you know what? This is kind of good. And I started expanding out. I was like, you know what? This is actually pretty tasty. But yeah, everybody's got one of those weird food quirks. Rob, I'm curious what yours is, but Therese, I'm with you, my brother. You love peanut butter, but hate nuts. I hate tomatoes, but love tomato soup. I'm a walking enigma.
I don't know if mine's a hate weird thing, but I prefer to dip my fries in mustard to ketchup. Yeah. Like, when I go to McDonald's and I go home, I got my mustard, get a little thing, get going.
So hold on. Let me get this straight.
I'm not averse to ketchup. I just prefer mustard.
Let me get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of asking for extra ketchup packets.
I don't ask for any.
You ask for extra mustard packets.
Correct.
And you then rip the mustard open. You then squeeze the mustard on whatever surface. Yeah. And then you eat the fries
through the mustard. Yeah. I'm not saying I dislike the ketchup, but when given a choice, I would prefer to dip into mustard.
Okay. I'm right. Okay. Text line 69306. My fiance says that she likes her Springfield cashew chicken cold, and I decided I'm moving out. That would be kind of one of those things that if you like cold Chinese food, I don't know if I could love you properly. Like, I don't know if I could love you with enough energy for us to move forward and have a successful life together. I don't know if I could.
Rihanna comes to you and she's like, ooh, that cold Chinese hits different.
I'm picky about that kind of stuff. I told a girl one time, when she told me she was a vegetarian, I told her, I don't know if this is ever going to work out because if we can't share wings or eat tacos together, I just don't know how we're going to bond. And she's a great person. I have nothing but positive things to say about her. But if we can't bust down a 8-piece lemon pepper together over watching the game, I don't know if we can really bond the way that we need to. I don't know if we can get to the place that we need to. I think we have a very low ceiling. And I just told her that from the beginning. I love tacos are my favorite food. Like, I love steak and I love seafood, but if there's one food I know I could eat every single day, it's tacos. I love them. Absolutely delicious. And if that's not something that we can jointly share, I don't know if it's going to work. I really don't know if it's going to work. Go ahead and text in your questions. Text line 69306. Here's the portion of the show where I answer all your questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
In these conjugal visits, you can have sex with women?
Yep.
You sure can. Okay, I'll do it.
That's a very good question.
Yes, I thought so too.
Text line 69306. If you got a question, I will do my absolute best to answer your questions. Rob, what do you have up for the weekend?
I might actually go out and hit up a patio somewhere.
Patio season back.
Patio. Well, it has to be patio season, man. You can't go into restaurant season. So it might be Saturday supposed to be nice. Maybe cold beverage on a patio somewhere. That's my future. What you got?
I actually plan on watching The Lovebirds on Netflix. I actually wanted to go see that movie in the theater, but they canceled it in the theaters and they put it on Netflix. So I plan on watching that. I have, other than my weekend now is the kid. that's my weekend now. I'm certainly happy I could talk to you guys about it openly. I mean, that's what I do now on the weekend. I have my daughter. That has become the thing. I was looking forward to watching The Last Dance, but that's now over. I'll watch the Lance Armstrong thing, but other than that, man, I don't really do too much else now on the weekends. I'm still on the I'm not being around any of you. If I don't know you, I'm not being around you in this sense, so I'm still staying at home. Text line 69306, what does Patrick Mahomes need to do to unseat George Brett as Mr. Kansas City? I think that happened like a year ago. And no disrespect to George Brett. I've met him two times. Nothing wrong. Great guy. In my dealings with him, he's been great to me. He got unseated about a year ago, though. Maybe like a year and a half ago on me and on the King of Mr. Kansas City. I'll never forget we did this topic on the show, Rob. It was like week 3 of Mahomes' first season. And I remember saying on the radio that Mahomes is more popular now than Eric Hosmer was at any point in his time in Kansas City. And I was getting crushed on the text line. And I'm like, all right, if you don't think it's now, it is coming very, very soon if that's the case. And it happened then. That was leading into the game against San Francisco. He then made that throw. And everybody's like, oh, okay, so what you mean? Like, yeah, I kind of know. I can tell. Text line 69306. If you had to choose between free tacos for a year or a football championship for Mizzou, which one are you taking? I mean, I'm taking the football championship. I love tacos, but there are at least other things I can eat. Like, if I couldn't eat tacos for a year, I can still eat every other food that I really enjoy. Now, my life wouldn't be as enjoyable, but I would then get the opportunity to see my team win a championship. Actually, you know what? I might be one of the only Missouri fans that feels this way. Only once. If I had to pick between winning a college football championship or Missouri going to the Final Four, I would take them going to the Final Four. That's what they get made fun of the most. No one says, ha ha, you haven't won the football national championship. It'd be cool, but so much about college basketball is simply getting to the Final Four. It's called the road to the Final Four. It's not the road to the national championship. It's not the road to the title. It's the road to the Final Four. You've done all of this. You get 1 week that is solely about you and your accomplishment. I would love for Missouri to be Auburn, what Auburn was a couple of years. Remember when Auburn went to the Final Four? I'd love for that to be the case. See, if I had to choose between those two, I'm picking Missouri going to the Final Four.
The choice there is obvious. It doesn't say you can't eat tacos. It just says free tacos. You can still pay for tacos.
No, you're right.
What's
your favorite place to get tacos? There is a place on Southwest Traffic Way called Bohemio. If you know Southwest Traffic Way, it's across the street from a Sonic. And then there's that big Mexican restaurant on the corner across from, I believe it's O'Reilly. It is some of the best carnitas tacos I've ever had in my entire life. There's this other place in Mission. It's this. I'll find it here. Give me a second. I'll find it. It's the best taco I've had in my entire life. It's incredible. I'll get the name of it for you. Hold on. Give me 2 seconds. I'll pull it up. But it's absolutely phenomenal. Text line 69306. Where do we stand on fries and Frosties? I'm on board. I don't got no issue with fries and Frosties. That's not my go-to, but I'm with it. I'm with it. I got no issues with that. Are you going to finish your Tour de Taco after this clears up? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I enjoyed it. I don't even care if nobody else liked it. I liked it because I just got to eat the food. I got to eat the food, so it was great to me. Somebody said Taco John's. No, not the best taco. It's not the best taco, but it's certainly a good one. What have you been watching on TV, Rob?
I actually just finished Money Heist, which I cannot recommend enough. I also got through a little comedy, Schitt's Creek, which was great. It's like a Canadian.
You got to say that correctly on the radio. You know what I mean?
S-C-H-I-T-T, apostrophe, yes. It's a native location. That is, I think, that's great. Those are both on Netflix. I'm actually looking for something new now. I'm kind of just in no man's land now. You got anything for me?
I'm actually rewatching shows. I'm in the middle of True Detective, season one.
So good.
I didn't finish season two. Maybe I should have finished season two, but I watched the first 3 episodes and I came to the conclusion, nah, this ain't it, bro. Somebody said San Antonio's. No, San Antonio's is good. Bohemio's is better, though. Bohemio's is better. And I love San Antonio's was my favorite before I did my first couple episodes of the taco tour. Bohemio, that carnita is amazing. It's amazing. And God, I got to find this taco place so I can tell you guys about it. Rob, ask me a question so I can answer it while I'm looking at the same place. But I got to tell you guys about this taco place that was just... Rob, we might go there to get tacos after the show. It's so good. I want you to go.
I'll get one on the text line for you. Favorite quarantine drink. Should be a...
This is the name of it. This is the name of it. This is the name of it. It is called El Pugarcito. That's the name of it. Write this down. Whoever it is. It is called El Pugarcito. I'm telling you, it is the best taco in Kansas City. It's like this Salvadorian restaurant. And what I noticed when I was doing the Tour de Taco, you can't judge a book by its cover when it comes to a taco place. It's kind of like Chinese food. You can't judge what the Chinese food place looks like. You just got to go in. And if they are double wrapping your tortilla, it's a good quality taco. If they ain't double wrapping your tortilla, it ain't official. But that's the name of it. Write this down, Kansas City. El Pugarcito. I'm even going to give their address out because that's how much I liked it. 5921 Merriam Drive. It's in Merriam, Kansas. I'm telling you, fantastic. I'm taking Rob right after we leave here. I'm taking Rob to El Pugarcito because he needs to know how good this food is. El Pugarcito. Somebody asked how to spell it. If you can't sound it out phonetically, then I've done my part here. I've done all I can do. Text line 69306. Do you think that John David Washington has a chance to surpass his pops? No, but I do think he has a chance to be a great actor in his own right. Black Klansman, he was good. Like, I think this is his role. If he knocks this role out of the park, he's out of here. He's kind of like that musician that has done a couple of really good albums, and now we're looking forward to, this is supposed to be your smash album. This is the one you got to knock out of the park. If Tenet's as good as we think it's going to be, then I think the sky's the limit for him, and he could be the next It actor. He could be like Mahershala Ali, who is the True Detective in season 3. I think he could be like that if this movie hits. If this movie stinks and we don't like it, then I'm not saying it's over because he's Denzel Washington's kid, but I don't know if we're ever going to take him as seriously as this moment. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really good. Text line 69306. People are talking about El Pugarcito because they know the vibes. That's all I can say is they know the vibes. I'll give you another suggestion. There is the Owen Hart documentary. I believe that's on YouTube. Vice did it. There's another episode dropping of The Last Ride from The Undertaker. You should go check that out. There's a documentary if you want more Michael Jordan Last Dance content. It is called Unbanned, The Legacy of the Jordan 1, where episode 5, where they went kind of in-depth into the shoes of Jordan, there's an entire documentary where they do just that. It's not about basketball. It's just, this is the history of basketball shoes in America. This is the history of Michael Jordan's first shoe. That is an incredible watch if you're into sneakers. Actually, just bought a pair of Jordans like 3 weeks ago. Those of you that get sneakers, those Royal Toe ones, first ones I got in a while. I needed those, though. I needed those. Those were a need. Those were a need for me. Thanks so much for listening. If you missed it, check out the first segment of today's show. It was very important to me. Thanks a lot to Rob for his help. Hope he has a great weekend. We will be back on Tuesday. Stay safe. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks so much for listening. It's The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.